Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host once again, and we've got a live show for you tonight that's going to be very good. Very exciting show tonight. Tonight's topic is, what is your secret to happiness? What is your secret to happiness? We have so many people out there who claim to be happy, and I think that there are people out there who, in fact, are happy. So tonight we're going to be talking about what is your secret to happiness, and we've got a set of friends who started out in third grade, and we'll read that story momentarily coming up, that will talk about their happiness and what caused them to be happy throughout their lives and as they continue with their friendship. But we'll get to the story in about 5 minutes. But happiness, you know, happiness for one person might not be considered necessarily happiness for another individual. So we want to find out tonight, what is your secret to happiness? If I were to be asked that question, I would probably go along the lines of having joy in my life, having joy, not the person joy, but having that feeling of like you have joy. I look at joy as likened to a tic-tac-toe game. For me, it would be having God in the middle of the game, which would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, in the 5 spot. That's the middle. And then you put all of your other areas out there that you feel comfortable with. It could be education. It could be family. It could be friends. It could be a variety of things that you may choose to have out there. But for me, you know, God in the middle. And the reason why I choose God being in the middle, that's the center. That would be pretty much the nucleus, the heart of it. You know, that nuclei cell is the head or the leading cell. And I think that if you lose out on some of the other areas, boxes 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, if you, you know, those represent life. Those areas represent life. So, you know, as we live, you're going to lose loved ones. As we live, you're going to have disappointments. You're going to lose jobs. Let's say one of those categories is a job. As we live, you know, you may disconnect with certain friends. As we live, you may get divorced in life or lose a relationship that you really tremendously loved. And so things start to happen. But if you stay connected with the center of your joy, being God in that middle, then I think that you can recover, because in his word he tells us that he will never leave or forsake us. So, you know, that should be the thing that gives us some hope when everything else may be going disarray. And so I think that that's what we may have to look forward to. I would like to know what your secret to happiness is. So mine has got to be joy. But then you may ask the question, how can one person maintain joy all the time? Well, I don't think that it's where you're maintaining joy necessarily. That becomes just your all the time. Perhaps it just becomes your makeup. You just feel that, you know, the joy of being alive. You know, when I think when you've got joy as opposed to just happiness, I think happiness can be something that, you know, is temporary. Because the day, you know, somebody, your spouse may say something that makes you feel really good. And then the same day, you may have an argument with your spouse and you become highly upset and don't want to talk to each other for 2 or 3 days. So that's happiness. But I think happiness is important now, don't get me wrong. And that's why we want to find out tonight, what's your secret to happiness? And some people may consider happiness and equate that to joy. So let's just find out. Let's go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to 978-227. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. 978, looks like Tennessee. Welcome, and you're live.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hello there. Who do we have with us this evening, and welcome?
This is Shirley. This is Shirley.
Go ahead.
What is your secret to happiness is your question tonight?
That's tonight's topic.
Okay. I heard you talk about joy and how the Lord is the center of everything that goes on in your life. And for me, that's, you know, that's how it is for me. That's what keeps me, not so much as the joy, but for everything in my life, with having God as the center. And when you have him as the center, no matter what goes on, you're happy about it. And he tells us in his word to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. So when anything come our way, we can be joyful about it because we know that God is handling it. So I, too, would say that my happiness stems from having God as the center of my life. And I just, you know, work everything around it, but it all comes back and leads back to the Lord being there. So that's what makes me happy. Even when I'm sad about something, I know that God has my back. And so I can get happy about that because I know it's not going to last. You know, and the word of God does tell us that this too shall pass. So I know it's not going to last. Okay?
All right. So when you think about joy, let's ask the question of you.
Mm-hmm.
For you, what's the difference between joy and happiness? I mean, I said earlier that I think happiness can be temporary, and it's not necessarily that joy can be all the time around, but you're not going to lose yourself when you hear, you know, about joy. You're not going to lose yourself. That's what my thoughts are. We're going to go to phone lines again in just a second, the 954-826. But go ahead, Shirley, and give us your thought on that part that I said.
Okay. The joy part is something I can relate it to, just something happening in your life, and it does kind of relate to being happy, but something that happens in your life, and for me, I can say that the joy that happened in my life was when I just gave my life to Christ, and that was the most joyful thing I could have ever done for me. And then I was happy about it once I did it, you know, because like I said before, the happiness comes when you know that nothing is forever. Things are temporary. They really are.
All right. Even joy, would you say joy is temporary as well?
No, things I said are temporary, but the joy is when I received Christ and knowing that nothing could take that away from me. You know, that joy that I have, and it's like having something that you know no one can take away from you, even if they tried. And no matter what the situation is going on in your life, you still have that joy. And that was my salvation. So that's how I'm speaking to that joy.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by just a moment, Shirley, and we're going to you're listening to Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to go now all the way to South Florida, 954-826. Welcome to the show this evening. You're live.
How you doing, Dr. Walker? This is James.
We're doing good, James. Thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you on the air. James, what is your secret to happiness? How would you define your secret to happiness? That's tonight's topic.
I'd like to go along with the previous person who just talked, my joy is in the Lord, living the way that I'm supposed to live, because no matter what happens, I know that in the end there's a higher power and nothing can take that away. But happiness is what happens here on earth. You know, I was happy when, you know, I graduated college. I was happy when I found a job and, you know, got married and, you know, all the kids came. But happiness is not every day.
Yeah.
If it was, then like depression would not, it couldn't happen. So happiness is, each person has to define happiness by their own standard, because there are some rich people, as we know, that have a lot of money, but they're not happy. They, you know, are depressed, or, you know, they can't really, you know, trust the people around them. So happiness is, you know, living your life, and you have to define what happiness is. So you're going to have a lot of people calling tonight to tell what they think happiness is, but happiness is an individual thing. What happiness is to me is not what happiness is for somebody else. I don't need a lot of things like to be happy. There are people who want to, you know, own 5 or 6 houses, you know, who want to conquer, you know, who want to own stuff, who want to climb to the top of the ladder at their jobs. And like, to them, that is what happiness is. And for some people, you take a man who's living on the street, if somebody comes along and gives him, you know, $5 or $8 and he can buy a meal, that's happiness. Mm-hmm. So happiness is what we each as individuals have to determine. Joy, my joy is in the Lord. And like you said before, that can never be taken away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Excellent, James. I think that that's, I think we're all on the same page with that particular thing. Mm-hmm. But Why do you all think that there are so many people out there who, for them, their happiness appears to be temporary? Let me start with you, Shirley, and ask why. Even people who call themselves Christians, you find that they're, for some reason, they're just not happy in their spirit. Is it that they don't have joy, or they really don't know? What do you think?
Well, I can't really say if they have joy or not, but people that are not happy, and you said to include Christians, it's like the brother said, it's what you make of it, and you know how certain things affect you. If you know, can't be happy unless you have a certain status in life, or you can't be happy, you know, then I can't really answer for how other people will. I can only answer for me. Little things make me happy. you know, if I have a roof over my head, I'm happy about that. You know, I have a car to drive. I'm happy about that, you know, and it runs. It works. It's not in the shop. I don't have to worry about it being in the shop. I'm happy about that. You know, so too, uh-huh. I don't know. I can only speak for me.
Okay. All right. James, we're going to ask you the same question, but first let me go to the phone lines. You're listening live to Dr. Jesse Walk Show. If you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, what is your secret to happiness? Let's take another phone call before we go back to James. We're asking the question, and then we'll get to the story in just a minute or two. We're going to go to 305-300. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
Hi, good evening. My name is Elizabeth. Nice to join you. I haven't heard you guys in a while.
Elizabeth, thank
you
for joining.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, joining us. Elizabeth, tell me, what is your secret to happiness?
Honestly, like, my secret to happiness is, like, when I look for God, like, and when I seek God and just spend time in his presence, that just fills me up, like, so much. And also, like, spending time, like, with my family, my grandkids. I'm just, like, so grateful. And also, like, when I get to help others, you know, each day I ask God to just use me in a different way. Every day, just use me in a way, you know, that he wants to. And I just feel so happy when I feel useful that I can be a blessing to someone's life.
I think that that is beautiful. I think, I mean, I think that's paramount when you can really be a blessing to other people. That certainly brings me joy. It enhances my joy. Elizabeth, we're going to ask you to stand by. James, let's go back to you, and then we're going to read the story after that. And James, basically along the lines of the question that I asked Shirley earlier, you know, why is it that some people, in your opinion, are not, so-called Christians, are not seemingly happy?
I think because they go to a church and they are so much, like, reliant on what the pastor says in their church, and they're not getting, like, fulfilled, and they're looking for something. When we all go to church, we're all looking for something, and they're not, it's not happening for them. You see a lot of people bouncing from church to church because they're not happy, so they're looking. I learned to read the Bible for myself as far as that aspect is concerned, and you can find, you can find, like, your joy if we each just read the Bible on our own and not wait until I go church on Saturdays. So, but, you know, people go church on Sunday. Read the Bible on your own. Don't wait till the pastor has to tell you to turn to this and turn to that. So I think a lot of people bounce from church to church are not happy because they just aren't getting what they came for. A lot of churches about finance, and they're about, you know, bringing up the church. A lot of churches have fallen short in bringing up the congregation on the spiritual level.
Okay. I should stand by just momentarily. We're going to go to the tonight's story. This is very interesting, I find. It's about two individuals. One of them is Alicia, and the other one is Betty. This is Betty and Alicia. Now, here's what's going on with them. These girls, I mean, this is a very interesting story. And, of course, all the stories that we read on the air are inspired by true stories. And, of course, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Alicia and Betty, they've been best friends since they were in third grade. They're both now in their sophomore year attending the same college. When other people get to know them, they automatically see them more as sisters rather than friends because they appear to be so close. Now, Alicia and Betty have very happy spirits that appear to attract other people to them, and the other people always seem to want to be around them to learn of their secrets to happiness. The interesting thing about their spirits are they plan their lives out since those primary years back in elementary school as third graders. Now, here's a synopsis of what they tell people when asked about their secrets to happiness. Number one, they say from third grade, they made it their goal to make grades within the top 10 of each class each year throughout high school. Now, they did this at third grade. Number two, they plan to never let anything or anyone get in their way of becoming successful. Number three, they plan to make only A's or B's in school throughout high school. Number four, they plan to only date guys who are highly intelligent. Number five, they planned on deciding what they wanted to be by 10th grade. Number six, they attended a lot of career and job options in high school and those fairs, job and career fairs. And number seven, they expected to get scholarships to college because they were anticipating good grades. Number eight, they planned on becoming roommates in college. And every step of the way, they planned to enjoy and embrace life. I think that's important. Number nine, they planned on successfully completing college before choosing to get married. Number 10, in other words, they planned their lives from an early age and learned to enjoy each step of the way. Now, this is a This is the story of their secret to success. You know, the question that I want to ask, and I start with Shirley, would you consider these to actually be secrets to happiness? I mean, it seemed to have worked for them. You think other people could actually, Shirley, benefit from, you know, their story?
Some of the things, sure, it's a secret to success, is what you said in the beginning. They're happy in their own right, but that's a successful way to plan things and do things, and, you know, evidently their plan worked. But some of the things that they did as far as getting an education and making sure that their grade level, you know, was up to par, those types of things, I would recommend that for anyone, you know. But, you know, are you happy doing that? You know what I'm saying? If everything is plan, you know, where's the spontaneity in that? You know, for you, really, what if you wanted to do something different than what you planned, but now you plan that, so you're not going to deviate. So it's some of it, it's okay, you know, but they did a plan for success. Happiness wasn't put in there anywhere. This was all for success. That's how I'm looking at what you just, the story you just told us. And you would be successful doing what they did.
Right. I mean, I believe these ladies found happiness where they were doing, because they did say that every step of the way, they embraced life and they enjoyed it. Now, to me, that enjoyment would perhaps infer, you know, they found happiness in it because they were accomplishing their goals. Now, let me just go here for a second and ask the question also to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, do you think that something along those lines could actually make somebody happy? And just before you respond, you know, I have my youngest daughter is one I find that she is, I mean, she kind of plans her life in elementary school the way that she wanted it to go. And, of course, there were some deviations that she had. But I found that when she was planning her life from second grade and third grade early on, it gave her a happy spirit because she didn't let anything interfere with her plans or her preparation or her goals. She found joy in everything that she did because she found herself not necessarily subscribing only to my directives, but she found that, oh, I'm accomplishing this, and, you know, I can do this. So she had the confidence, and every step of the way when she made her contributions and her attributions to accomplish things, she felt good. So it was almost like feeding her own spirit with what she needed, you know, for happiness. So, Elizabeth, let me ask you the question before we go to the phone lines again. And ask you, do you think that just as Alicia and Betty did their planning and embraced life, that could possibly help people find their secret to happiness as it did them?
I mean, I think it's really good what they did. I think it's good, and it's good to stay focused and not let, you know, try not to let anything interrupt and distract you. Stay focused. And also put everything, like, in God's hands so, you know, everything will work out. I think it's good. I think it's really good what they did. I really do.
All right,
sometimes,
let's go to the phone.
You know, there's, yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Elizabeth, go ahead.
No, sometimes, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, other things can pop up and stuff, but we always have to remember, you know, just to stay focused.
Okay.
Stay focused
on
our goals in life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Let's go to Alabama 205-908. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walks for Your Live.
Hello. Hello, everybody. This is Jack.
Jack, welcome back, Jack. Thank you for joining us. Jack, tell us, what do you think? What's your secret to happiness?
My secret to happiness, well, I think someone kind of like touched on it a bit. Well, first of all, you gotta put God in your life. That's without a doubt. I mean, you'll find yourself without Him. You'll find yourself really miserable. But I think we have to put Him first, ask Him to lead and direct us. And I think once we do that, then everything else will fall into place with your marriage, with your success in life. As you talked about those two girls who planned something, they had to give it all to God because I don't think they would have accomplished any of those things without, you know, Him being in the mix. So I think once we put Him into it, and then I think things will fall into place. Even though we may not think things are working out, but if you got your life, health, and strength, you're already somewhat successful. Now, that's what I believe. If you got your life, so many people out there that are sick, and, you know, they don't know one day from the next what's going to happen. If you got your life, health, and strength, and God has given you blessings with that, then you should be considering yourself very happy.
Zach, I think that's a very good point. I think that's a very good point. Let's take a look here. We're going to also take and entertain some of the comments that are coming in the studio. Let's take a look at that. And let's begin by, just before we do, Shirley, I want to ask you this question. And that is, if someone were to, Alicia and Betty, who have done their in their sophomore year of college, and now they're considering making a decision to date guys who are highly intelligent, what would you tell them to look for if they came to you for advice and say, I want to, you know, we're considering dating these guys that have been coming on to us. They appear to be highly intelligent, but their spirits don't seem to be happy. They don't seem to have the happy spirit. What advice, if any, would you give them?
Oh, my. Well, if they were in college with them,
yeah.
So you know that they're highly intelligent already. Well, they're intelligent enough. Well, see, if first of all, like we've been discussing all along, how much God do they have in their lives? Do they love the Lord? Are they, you know, serving the Lord? Because that is your ultimate happiness and joy, if you're serving, you know, if you have Him in your life in some kind of way. And they know that this is what's keeping them and what makes them happy. So they don't need to connect with anyone that they can't share the same values with, share the same thoughts or even conversations with. If they can't speak to them about, you know, anything that these girls know something about, especially the Lord, then they don't need to waste time. They need to move on, and God will send someone that they can relate to them.
All right. James, let's refer that question over to you as well. If these young ladies came in and they were asking advice from you about the guys that they're going to be dating, what advice, if any, would you give to them? I mean, they're reaching that point now where they're considering husbands, and they want to marry guys who have that spirit, you know. So what would you tell them?
Oh, wow. Oh. I got girls, so I would tell them to, those gentlemen would have to prove themselves. You know, words are words. Actions are everything. That's what I tell mine. Let them, just because, you know, they talk a good talk, actions have to match that. And to, you know, watch them and to go out with them, but at the same time, see if they meet, like, your standards of what you're truly, you know, trying to find. Because things happen and you have to go through things like with people to really see who they are. Are those guys going to be there when things get rough? Are those guys going to be there when they need somebody to talk to? Things like that. But if I may go back just a second. To me, if you have a goal, goals are not happiness because you're not happy until you reach that goal. So even if you're on your way to that goal, it's not happiness. It may allow you a sense that you're on the right track and gives you a sense, hey, I'm doing the right thing. But when you have goals, no one is happy until they reach that goal. And to me, happiness is a state of mind.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Jack, let's bring it to you and ask that question. If they were to come to you for advice on dating some guys, and they're looking for these guys because, you know, it is said that people send their representatives, you know, when they're dating, and you don't really know a person until you get married. So these girls, they really want to make sure that they're making the right decision. What advice, if any, would you give them?
Yeah, I would give them some advice. I would tell them that, you know, like someone said, talk is cheap. You know, you got to show me that you love me. You just can't tell me that you love me. Your action speaks louder than words. So now they're not going to live as hermits all their lives. So I think they, you know, they're fully women. They know they need to date someone of the opposite sex. So you give the guy an opportunity. You don't want to be an old maid. So you would give the guys an opportunity. They've shown interest. You've shown interest in them. Give them an opportunity. Now, if they show otherwise that they're not the person that's measuring up, that I'm sure that guy has some expectations of you as well. So he's looking for things that – but there's something called compromise. So if he's not measuring up to 100% to what you feel that he should be, and you're not measuring up to him 100%, you guys can get together and you can talk about it and say, well, what can we compromise on? Because everything is not peaches and cream. And I like to go back a little bit, too, because I kind of like the idea that those girls set standards and set goals for themselves. That's good. I think it's good. But the only problem that I have with that sometimes you're not able to reach those goals. So you have to deviate a little bit. Say, okay, now, this was my plan. But since that didn't work, now I got to try something. No, to say I'm not going to say that I'm not going to be happy because I didn't reach that. Maybe that wasn't what God wanted me to do. Maybe that was something that I wanted to do on my own. And now he's redirected me to try this because this is what he wants me to do. So you may try two or three different things until you finally reach the point where you want to be. So I think that you set goals. I mean, you set a plan and then you work your plan. You set for your goals and you strive to reach them. A lot of those things were, they said, were somewhat common sense and kind of somewhat realistic. Some of those things were not because they had 10 or 12 of them you mentioned at all. I like most of them, but some of them I felt like it was kind of hard. You know, it's kind of hard to try to reach all two of those goals that you mentioned at all.
Okay. That's all it. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at some of the comments that have also come into the studio. Let's begin with, yeah, here's some of those. We're talking about tonight. So this male writes in. He says, this is an interesting topic. My secret to happiness is live and let live. It's as simple as that. Jack, let's go back to you and ask you, is it as simple as that, live and let live? I hear a lot of people do say that, though. You know, live and let live.
Oh, are you talking to me or Jack?
Yeah, I'm going to Jack and then James. I'm going to come to you next.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, you should let others live their lives. You know, when we, our children, you know, we want to make sure that we tell them the right things and have them to go, you know, and learn from mistakes and all that. But when they become a certain age and all, they got their mind set up. Now, the only time I give advice at this stage of the game now is someone asks for advice at all. Because people might take your advice the wrong way. They could misconstrue it and all. Kind of somewhat agree. Live and let live. I really do agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, James, let's go to you. Live and let live. What does that actually mean?
That means that you take everything as it comes. Life, no one knows what's going to happen on the next day. And you have to live in order to, you know, and you have to function and you have to take everything that, you know, take everything that comes at you and keep going, keep focused on your goals. I think that's what that means. But like to me, some people have to plan out their lives, like these girls. They, some people have to plan. Some people are extreme organizers. Some people are extreme planners. Other people tend to live life off the cuff. You know, they, as he said, you know, they take things as they come. I'm not a planner. You know, I plan out, you know, finances, I large things. But, you know, I don't have a book where I write all, you know, everything down. Okay, next week I got to go here. Next, some people have to have that. They need that, a structure in their life. Other people don't. So live and let live, that's not going to work for a person who has to plan, who has to have, you know, those goals lined out. Okay, next week I'm going to be here. In 5 years I'm going to be doing this. In 2 years. So, you know, live and let live, that's what we have to do every day. But on the broad, like, perspective, some people can't live like that. They will think of themselves as not a functional, they can't function that way. Other people can.
Okay. All right. Interesting points from both of you all. Shirley, let's go to you and look at the comment. This female, she writes in, she says, I think the secret to happiness is when you are living your life the way you want to live it, as opposed to living it the way someone else wants you to live it. So this is what she's saying. And Shirley, what do you think? I mean, that sounds pretty interesting to me, living your life the way you want to live it, as opposed to living it the way somebody else wants you to live it. That's the secret to happiness, she says. What do you think?
Well, it is living it like you want to live it. But if you have someone in your life, if you're like a single person, live it. You know, I can agree with what she's saying. Live it. But if you have a partner, husband, wife, you know, then you have to recognize that there's someone else involved. So you can't live it like you want. You have to. One of the gentlemen said, compromise. You have to come together and see, you know, if that's going to work. You know, I might want to do something one way, but then my husband might say, well, no, I don't really want us to do that. Why can't we do it like this? And so living like you want to live, that's good. If you living by yourself and you're single and, you know, you live like you want to live. You know, my answer so far to that.
All right. I think that's interesting. And Shirley, I got to ask you this question here. And then, Jack, I'm going to pose this one to you as well. You mentioned being married, and then we're talking about your secret to happiness. What if you really want to kind of get out there and you have your significant other's one who is not as excited about going as you are? And you're finding yourself, you know, feeling like, you know, you're regressing because your spirit can't, you know, be. So what do you do in a case like that when you're finding that looking at your brothers sort of, you feel like you're, you know, not getting to fulfill your dreams, your joy? What do you do in a case like that? So let's go with you first, and then we're going to pose that same question to Jack.
Okay, it was a lot of noise in the background, so I heard some things and I didn't hear it all. The question was, what if your partner or your husband, wife, don't want to do certain things and you do?
Yeah.
I still think that you should, you all should talk about it. And, you know, if you have a wife or a husband, then, you know, these things, just like we were talking about giving the young girls advice, these things should have been looked at before you got married. They, you know, you need to date people, know how they are, who they are, and if you're compatible with them, you know, and if they're compatible with you. All of these things should have been looked at, and you get into a marriage, and then things are so different because I think you had said something about you put your best foot forward when you're dating, but then things change after you're married. Then if things change, then you try to work on what made it change. Why, you know, find out why things changed in your marriage. Why did that happen? We were getting along so great. We were doing things together so good. And now all of a sudden it's not happening anymore. Then you need to, anyone that, you know, they need to look at what's going on. Where did we go sideways? You know, let's bring it back to where we were when we first got married, because getting married is a contract, okay, that you had set up between you and your spouse and the Lord. And you, you know, shouldn't, that contract shouldn't be broken because people aren't doing something that you want to do. It shouldn't be broken at that point. You need to work on it. You really do.
Okay, but Shirley, we're going to go to James, and we're going to go to Elizabeth and momentarily, and then Jack. But I do want to say this here. I believe, this is just my opinion, my humble opinion, and I certainly can be wrong. I know that I can. But I think that people are putting their best foot forward when they're dating. And I think people at that time, their best foot is sending their, like my co-host often says, Lady Lisa, they send their representatives up front. But I do believe that when you get married, if that person desired to have you, whether it's a man or a woman, there's going to be some change that come that you never even saw, even when you thought you saw everything. I just believe that you're going to see some changes that you did not expect, because over 55% of marriages are ending in divorce. So you're going to see some things that you didn't see necessarily. I think some people say you always see the warning signs. I don't think you do. I really don't think you see all the warning signs. Because you don't really know a person until you really live with them. Let's go now to Jack, and then to James, and then to Elizabeth. Jack, what do you think? I mean, I know Shirley is saying that these things you should have seen before marriage, that if you all are not, that compatibility is there, so you don't, even when you're trying to compromise, what do you think? I mean, I'm hoping that I'm wrong.
Some things that you see before you get married. Is that what you said? Things do you see before you get married?
Well, she's saying that we asked a question here, you know, about people who may have done things together and dated and had a good time and do things together, but then for some reason after marriage, some things change. And
okay,
you should have seen these things before you got married. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying always see that.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with what you just said. You know, they're gonna put their best foot forward, you know, in a relationship, starting off anyway. I mean, some of the signs are there. I mean, some things are red flags as you see as you're dating, but not that many red flags are gonna come up while you're dating, because they're gonna put their best foot forward. Like you said, they're gonna send their representative. But as you get into the relationship, especially if you commit yourself to marry that person off, a lot of things are going to come out. So the true person is going to come out. And like you said earlier, and I agree with, and I've said that many times too, we don't really know a person until you stay with them, because now you're with them 24 hours, you're with them all the time. And you can tell how a person really is in a crisis situation and all. I mean, you are what you are under pressure. When you're under pressure, you still should be relaxed. You still should be calm. You shouldn't let it get the best of you. I work around people all the time, and they just fall apart. When it comes to a crisis situation, I said, well, if you fall apart, what about the people that are looking up to you, or the people that, you know, you're supervising and all? They're going to fall apart too. Everybody's going to fall apart. So what you going to have? Complete pandemonium and all. So some things that you can see during a relationship, a lot of things you cannot see until you actually live with the person, and then you're going to see their true colors coming out. Now, it doesn't mean, like you said, 55% of ending in divorces now. That's why we have so much of that going on. But God is not. He's not pleased with that. He didn't mean for us to go and get divorced. He meant for us to be together for life. So that vow, those vows that we made, we need to honor those vows.
Okay, so then Jack, just before we go to James and Elizabeth, back to Elizabeth, then are you saying then that the representative that showed up was not the true person? And how fair is that to the marriage? How fair is that to the now marriage, in your opinion?
It's not in my opinion. All this is just my opinion, okay, except for the things I give you from a spiritual standpoint, because I can quote scripture with that. But I think that the person sending a representative, I don't think it's fair that they send a representative and then they show a different side when they get married. I think you should be who you are in the beginning.
Right.
And let it go all through the courtship and let it go on into the marriage and all. Because that's what's going to cause the problem. Okay, you didn't show me this side, you know, when we were dating. You brought me flowers and everything. You brought me candy. You brought me outfits and all that. And then all that ceased when we got married. So what's going on here? Did I do something wrong? The Bible says, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor. And
yeah.
Sickness and in health. All of that stuff goes along with it. Sickness and health, all that. You still got to love that person all the time, and, you know, regardless of what's happening at all. Pray to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Both of you get down on your knees and pray together. Lord will work it out. He'll work it out.
Will.
Well, you know, I certainly respect everybody's opinions, and I try to give mine, and I'm hoping that I'm wrong a lot of times. But you know, actually, if a person is 40 years old and they've been a certain way for most of those 40 years, I don't really see that person really trying to make that effort to change a lot. And I don't see God imposing his will on somebody's free will, you know, if they have free will and that's who they choose to be. And for me now, you know me, and I just say, if that person, that's their demonstration, and that's what they're showing you, they showed you a whole different side, and now you're seeing a bipolar difference, I say you, and I asked a question earlier, is it fair? I say, no, it's not fair. And Jack, I respect what you're saying, and the rest of you all, I respect what you're saying, but I say, you don't stay in that. I don't see.
Well, can I clarify something now? Because I want to, say the same thing that you're saying on that last part, because I never said stay in an abusive situation. I never said that.
Yeah.
If I would tell my daughter that, never stay in an abusive situation at all.
Yeah.
If someone is pounding on you and hitting you and all of that and abusing you physically, mentally, and all, you got to get out of that relationship. And I would tell anybody that. I'm saying that it's not fair to the person, that the person, the recipient, the ones who are receiving all of this, for you to start off like everything is peaches and cream, and you're giving them the fake person who you are, and then into the relationship, then it changes it out. I'm saying it's not fair to the person who's receiving all that. That's what I'm saying.
Because, I mean, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair that, to me, abuse is, if you all have an argument and your significant other is staying mad for 2 and 3 weeks, at you,
that's
ridiculous.
That to me is abuse. That's abuse. I'm saying
that is.
I think you're crazy to stay in something like that.
James,
let's bring you in. I mean, and that was my opinion, you all, and I could be wrong, and I'm not encouraging people to leave their marriages, but I'm saying wake up, because if you're living in those situations like that. And then, I mean, you can certainly find somebody out there that you can be happy with. I mean, why would you go home every day to that significant other who's been mad at you for 3 weeks? 3 weeks. James, help me out here, please.
I'm going to help you out. Okay.
Thank
I'm going
to
help
you
out. Number one, where we have gone from meeting that person to being in a marriage with that person. When you meet someone, they're gonna show you all their best clothes. They're gonna take you out to a nice place, because that's what men do. It's mating. It's getting to know that person. It's getting that person interested in you. Now from there, hopefully that you're gonna date this person for 1, 2, 3 years, and anything after that, you're going to be able to see that you don't like and that you don't like, because we all have things that, you know what, that's a deal breaker for me, sir. Thank you. I want to leave. So, but hopefully by the time you meet that person and you walking down that aisle, you have weeded out whatever stuff that you said that you can't tolerate. The other stuff, if you're saying I do, you can tolerate, so you go forward. Now, to me, what I have found out is that people, you have to allow your mate like to grow. If I am 25 years old, my priorities and the things I like and don't like in 5 years ain't going to be the same. Five years from now, when I'm, 5 years after that, my priorities and things are going to change. 5 years after that, I don't want to go back to when I first got married. I was stupid. I was young. I had no control. So why would I want to go back to when we first got married? We have to allow each other, like, to grow. And a lot of times people go, well, so you're not the same person that I got married to. Well, I was 25. I'm, you know. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So we have to allow each other, like, to grow. I mean, and the Bible says you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7.
Yeah.
So you can't just walk away just because, and that's the problem with today. Society has said the minute that you're not happy, you can walk out. But you're the same person who says for better or for worse. People don't like the worse. People don't like the sickness. People don't like the poor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and guess what? When you're sick, you ain't happy. When you don't have any money, you ain't happy. When things are worse, you ain't happy. You can't just walk out. Now, I agree, like what Jack said, that, hey, somebody's knocking you upside the head, yeah, leave.
Right.
But other than that, you're supposed to forgive 70 times 7. And if you said for better or for worse, then you got to deal with the worst.
Okay,
and,
so
the society says, the minute you're not happy, oh, you know what, leave, girl. No, man, leave that girl, man. You know, she ain't doing you right. No, that's not how it's supposed to work. It's like you said, that's not how God said it. That's why he said 70 times 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're supposed to have that forgiving heart.
Right. So, James, I heard you say earlier that you have daughters. Let's just say, for example, hypothetically, and we hope that this doesn't happen, but those daughters, let's just say one of your daughters, she's married to this guy, and let's say the daughter forgot his birthday, and now he's making a big deal over this here, and he decides to not speak to her for 3 weeks. I mean, she calls you up, she's like, Daddy, you know, I forgot it was his birthday today, and I did call later this afternoon at 2 o'clock and wish him a happy birthday, and I sent him flowers even on the job, but he was upset because I didn't do it at 8 o'clock this morning before he left the house. And he hasn't spoken to me in 3 weeks. He's sleeping in a separate bedroom. What do you tell her, James?
Well, I would say there's nothing that you can do until he chooses, like, to talk to you. And if you have made every effort to talk to your husband and he ignores you, then you have to step back. But then as a father, I'm going to say, well, you know what? I'm going to have a talk with him. Because that's still like my daughter. And, you know, if you're doing her wrong, I'm her dad. That's my baby. I'm going to say, look, you know, I think you're taking this too far. Yes, she was wrong. Yes, she made a mistake. But you have to, like, you know, this has gone too far. You are running the risk of jeopardizing, like your marriage over this. We are not 5 years old. You should not be getting upset because somebody didn't call you at 8 o'clock in the morning and, you know, say something like that to you. I mean, how old are you? Now, you know, so I would definitely have a talk with him, but I would tell her, listen, if you made every effort, then you know what? You've done all that you can do, baby girl. It's not on you. It's on him. You have no right to feel bad. You have said, I'm sorry. You have tried to make amends. Because once that person comes to me and say, hey, can you please, listen, I'm sorry. Now, if I say, I don't care, guess what? It's not on that person. They did the right thing. They said that they were sorry. They tried to make amends. Now, that's on him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, James, let me ask you this here now. She says, Daddy, don't talk to him because that's going to make it worse. Because this is how he is all the time. He gets like this all the time when he can't seem to have his way. Daddy, please don't talk to him. Because even if you talk to him now, he's got this spirit that you didn't even see when your daughter was dating him. And now he's like, and furthermore, if you do say something to him, he goes home to his wife, which is your daughter, and he says, oh, now you got to be daddy's little girl. You got to tell your daddy everything that goes on in our house. You know, I don't need your daddy trying to reprimand me. Who does he think he is? Okay, now what, James? It becomes worse for you.
Well, then, I would tell her, okay, if you don't want me to talk to him, that's fine. But you've done nothing wrong. You've done all that you can do. You have to weather, like, the storm. And
she has to weather that storm. She,
I mean, here it is now.
I mean,
Danny,
he's not okay, but listen to it. But listen to me. The only thing he's doing is not talking to her. He's not hitting her. You know, he's not
yeah.
throwing her out of the house. You know, yeah. he's not calling her, you know,
right.
names and stuff like that. He's just not speaking to her. So that's no grounds like for her to leave. She has to,
wow.
'cause guess what? That's her worst. That's her worst.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our worst. Your worst ain't
yeah.
my worst, but that's her worst. So she has to
right.
stay there and go, okay, you know what? I got to wait until he, you know, calms down.
Okay.
And if I can just interject,
yeah,
I know lots of people.
Are you there? There's something happened with the studio. The power went out, and it knocked some of our callers off. I don't know what's happening. So we've got Elizabeth, are you there? Jack, are you there? And we had several others we were trying to get to. It must have knocked them out, and it's not allowing them to come back in. We only have about 4 minutes before we end the show. But Shirley, go ahead. We'll go with what we have.
I was just going to say that I know quite a few couples that have been married, you know, for a number of years, and they tell you that you're going to go through ups and downs, and you're going to go through, you know, arguments and different things, but that still doesn't mean that you go to the courthouse and get a divorce or whatever. That still doesn't mean that you work
right.
through it. I agree with Jack. You work through it and pray. Pray about it, and God will move on your behalf. That's all I had to say.
Well, I must be a different animal because, I mean, I have two daughters. And if my daughters come to me, and this is what they're going through, and they're experiencing that from time to time, and this guy he gets like this when he doesn't have his way, I would encourage, I'm not going to say leave, but I'm going to say, would you want your child to go through this? And whatever decision that you want to give your child, that might be the decision that you need to listen to. It's difficult, but, you know, why is it that, I mean, here it is. The Bible also tells us don't let the sun set on your wrath. You know, don't let the sun set on your wrath. And all of a sudden you all are going to church together, but now the man is coming home with this kind of attitude, and it goes for 3 weeks, and that woman, my daughters want to talk. You know, I must be a different kind of animal, and I mean that's just my opinion, and I'm hoping that I'm wrong on this one here. But surely I just can't see. You know, I wish we could have gotten some of these other callers as well, but I don't know what happened to the studio tonight. It's thundering over here, so that could have affected.
Yeah, it's storming here too.
Yeah, it's already here.
Right now.
But what if, you know, your daughter is saying, I'm just saying, what if your daughter is telling you this is what's going on, but what was her part in it? You know what I'm saying? Did she really, you know, because once our kids grow up and, you know, we trained them, we raised them one way. But once they get grown and go off on their own, they do what they want to do. So, you know, if you're going to speak to them, speak to both. Find out what it is. And I believe this is why your profession is what it is, Dr. Walker, that you can get both sides into that and find out what's really going on.
Well, to be honest with you, for me, I don't even want to counsel my kids. You know, I have two boys, two girls. I don't want to even counsel them with their significant other. I would encourage them to get outside of me because I feel I'm going to be biased. And so for that reason, I would refer, I'd say, listen, darling, get you some professional counseling, maybe some professional Christian counseling, other counseling as well, so that you can see these things spiritually and practically, because I want you to be happy. And I do not want you, I mean, if you're in a relationship where, you know, half of the year he's mad, in and out, and, you know, and it's like, it's not critical, something that you've done, and you've apologized, then I don't want my kids to be in that kind of relationship. I mean, that's just me. That's just me. You know what? We are out of time. I'm so sorry, you all. We're going to have to we are not going to do a part two on this one, but I do want to read some of the other comments that have come in, and we'll do that next week. Those of you all that the studio blanked out, I do apologize for that. Those that we were trying to get in, that we couldn't get in, I certainly apologize for that. Listen, we're out of time. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's topic. What is your secret to happiness? Thank Jack, James, Shirley, Elizabeth, those that we were able to get to tonight. We do thank you all for your opinions and your comments. Join us here Friday, tomorrow, for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow's program, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. That's a wrap. Good night, everybody.